Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Fart.
And B, Mr. Zach. not Mr. Zach, I should change that.
I mean, you have to be Mr. Piss, right?
Mr. What? Oh, Mr. Piss.
It's time for the Mr. Fart and Mr. Piss show.
That sounds like a pretty gross soda. Then you could be Dr. Fart.
Yeah. Hey, how pop open a fresh can of Dr. Fart with us this evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Luke.
This is gonna make no sense to anyone who can't see the fucking recording window that we're looking at right now. I'm Zach. I think I already said that.
And this is a podcast where we watch free movies. This week we are covering a gem from 1993 called Cliffhanger, a rock climbing movie starring none other than Sylvester Stallone, for the show, which is called Broke Box Office.
Broke Box Office.
Hooray. We're back. Sweet. Just in time for December.
Everyone's favorite December activity, rock climbing in the Rockies.
Yeah, there's a bunch of snow in this movie. It's holiday appropriate.
There is a lot of snow. Seasonal. You're right. I've always had like this vague fascination with rock climbing. I don't know what it is. Like,
yeah,
rock climbing, mountaineering in general. I like reading books about it. I like watching documentaries about it.
You do like reading books about it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite, like very hyper specific subgenres of books to read is like mountaineering disaster stories, or, you know, stories of people who get stranded in drastic ways and find their way out. So this was fun. It tickled a little bit of that itch for me.
Yeah. I don't really know what I was expecting. I had heard of this movie before, but I didn't really know what I knew was about rock climbing, but I think I confused it with Rambo 3, and I thought he was going to have to use his rock climbing abilities to like infiltrate some sort of something or other. But he's not like someone who, like a rock climber who then gets drafted by the government. He's just like a rock climber who then accidentally gets tied up in like some shit.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting either, but it wasn't this. It's like a weird mix of like a action movie and a like a survival movie and like a sports movie.
Yeah.
It's strange.
And it's so funny to me. I mean, we'll talk about it more when you talk about the actors, but to have an action movie that isn't all like extremely ripped, athletic looking people, you know? Yeah. Or like some of these dudes are like John Lithgow is in it. And
he's the like main villain.
Intimidating, but he's just like sort of a schlubby old guy.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I mean, you used to be able to do that in like the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild. I'll talk about the cast a little bit, I guess.
All right.
Like I mentioned, we have Sylvester Stallone is playing Gabe Walker. He's the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, is his last name Walker?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought that was a fake name that he told the bad guys and they just kept calling him Walker and they never guessed it. It was his actual name. Okay.
Yeah. 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 I feel like Stallone is having a bit of a career resurgence these days. What with, you know, he's heavily involved with all the Creed movies and then the Guardians movies and the Expendables movies. And they're doing Rambo again, I fucking guess. I don't know.
I mean, did he ever really go away? I mean,
no, I feel like just recently in the past couple of years specifically. I mean, he had obviously a huge run in the 80s. What's like your iconic Stallone appearance?
Iconic. I don't know, because I've never seen any of the Rocky movies, unfortunately. And
I think I've seen like the second one. I don't even know.
Just the second one?
That's the one where he wins, right?
I don't know. But yeah, that'd be the one you would want to watch. I don't want to watch him lose. I hadn't seen any of the Rambo movies until a few years ago when I watched the first three all in a row.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any of those.
Maybe.
Have you seen Judge Dredd?
Maybe I've seen Judge Dredd. I know I've seen Dredd. And I think I've seen Judge Dredd. Oh, yeah. I know what it is. Demolition Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's got to be my iconic Stallone.
That's pretty sweet. Man.
And Over the Top.
I've never seen Over the Top either. Man. I'm not super familiar with Stallone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I was going to say earlier, if you think about, I mean, it was always, I think, Stallone and Schwarzenegger we're sort of, you know, facing off. And I was always more of an Arnold guy. I think Stallone maybe is like a better actor, but Arnold, I think, is more fun to watch, and he has better movies.
Yeah, I think Arnold has wider reach. I think, I don't know, when it comes to just like straightforward cut and dry action movies, I'd be hard pressed to think of a genre that I'm interested in less, like just on whole. I like a comedy action or like, you know, fantasy or sci-fi, but like just kind of guys with guns and stuff has just never done it for me. If I'm going to watch action, I at least want it to be karate fucking based, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I think there's something to be said. I mean, and now I'm just thinking about Arnold of like, I think it's just the star power. Like, I think that's what it is you want to watch this dude blow away a bunch of guys and then say like little quips.
Yeah.
Like if you ever feel the interest in watching just a straight cut and dry action movie, I'd recommend like Commando or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just very fun. And this one, I guess spoilers, but I like this movie a lot. I like,
really?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to going into it because I think I had heard that it wasn't very good, or I had seen that like some bad movie podcast that I like do episodes about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I almost never seek out this type, just like a cut and dry action movie, but I do appreciate it when I see one because it's like you can just sort of like settle into it. I don't know.
Yeah. I like a well crafted one. I like I like the kind of neon kind of nighttime ones because that's just an aesthetic that I'm into. But who else do we have here? Like we mentioned, John Lithgow is interesting. I was looking at his IMDb, and it's like he's such a big guy. Like he's very recognizable. I feel like he has a very recognizable face. I feel like he's a household name. But he doesn't really have like one big like this is the John Lithgow thing. I mean, he's Lord Farquaad, which I mean,
yeah,
that's it for me, man. But I don't know,
you wouldn't consider Third Rock from the Sun to be like his big main thing? I guess that was a long time ago.
Yeah I mean, his known for on IMDb is The World According to Garp.
Never seen it.
I had never even heard of that. But it's like top of his page. Buckaroo Banzai, obviously.
Oh yeah.
And Love is Strange, that movie he did in 2014, got pretty good attention. But yeah, I don't know, he's one that I also don't know much of.
Yeah, when I think of him, I think of How I Met Your Mother, actually.
Oh yeah.
Dexter, which I never watched the season that he was in, and everyone said he was amazing, but I stopped after season two.
Yeah. We have Michael Rooker in here as well. God damn, this guy has done a lot of stuff.
He's one that I always like to see. I think he's very fun.
Yeah, it's crazy. He has like hundreds of credits. You know, mostly action stuff, but obviously he's in Guardians of the Galaxy as well. I feel like Yondu probably is what most people these days would recognize him from.
Yeah, well, they may not recognize him.
Yeah. His voice, though, is so specific, and like his whole like kind of jaw mouth area, the way it moves, the way he talks is so specific.
You can always see his bottom teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
We have Janine Turner, who plays Jessie, who's like the other ranger. Okay. She's been in a ton of stuff, not much that I've recognized. It's mostly, you know, the posters are like her with a horse. 90% of them. So,
okay, I could see that. She was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's big name stuff like Steel Magnolias, Northern Exposure, Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
So she's done a lot of big prestige TV. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. And then honestly, I'm pleased to report that even everybody kind of in the crew, like all of those people have had careers. They've all done stuff.
Oh, wow.
Even, I don't know if you noticed, Leon, no last name.
I don't remember anyone's name.
He was the black guy who was one of the henchmen. And he has done so much stuff.
Really? He's,
like, still working today. All of the henchmen guys have credits from 2023. It's amazing.
I was interested. Hold on, what is that guy's name? Travers. Do you know what he's done? Because he kind of looked familiar to me. He was like, you know, the mustache and sort of the bald haircut.
Oh, yeah. So he, you might recognize from Rush Hour.
Okay.
One of the main guys in Rush Hour.
Yeah, that makes sense. I imagine him as a cop.
Yeah, he's played a cop just a bajillion times.
Yeah. Dude, here's a, this is only partially related, but here's a hot take that I have. I think that this is maybe stupid, but when I saw him, I was like, man, I wish you saw people like that with the, you know, they're completely like bald on top, but then they have that ring of hair. Like, you don't see that much anymore.
Men used to wear that so proudly.
And it's like really cool in a way. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, dang.
I feel this. I felt the same when I was looking at some of the posters of John Lithgow's movies in the 90s. He's been rocking that chrome dome for a while as well.
Yeah, it's just, there's a certain honesty to it.
Yeah,
you're just like, I'm bald, but not by choice.
Everybody's talking about getting fucking hair transplants now. Like, I know people like our age getting fucking
our age.
Yeah, getting hair transplants.
Oh, man.
I hear it's so painful.
Yeah, I can imagine. Don't they like sew it into your head?
Yeah, basically.
And then,
anyway, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about with the cast.
Yeah, you know, they've all done a lot of stuff. Well, I can let you know that this was directed by Rennie Harlan, who I did not realize that. And as soon as I saw that name come up, I was like, oh shit.
I don't know who that is. Should that ring a bell to me?
It's interesting. I feel like I've heard his name referenced a lot more than the movies of his that I recognized.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rennie Harlan is sort of like kind of a guy to reference who does, you know, sort of like over the top, like crazy action stuff. Like, I can tell you he did.
Like Michael Bay-esque?
Yeah, sort of. Or I think I always confuse him with McGee. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
He did Nightmare on Elm Street 4. He did Die Hard 2. He did Deep Blue Sea. He did Mindhunters 12 Rounds.
Deep Blue Sea, say no more.
I know, right? Like, yeah, like that kind of thing.
Masterpiece. Okay.
And I think I was going to... Hold on. I should look this up to make sure that I'm not like making shit up. But I'm pretty sure when you were talking earlier about people lost in the mountains, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I believe he directed that Devil's Pass movie. Yeah, he did, which is the one where it's about the Dyatlov Pass incident. And
I read a book about that earlier this year. Oh, shit. Well,
in the movie, it turns out that the secret of how these people disappeared was time-traveling commie zombies.
Hey, listen, I hate to spoil the book, but the common consensus is that may as well be the answer. They literally do not know what happened.
No clue. So...
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's Rennie Harlan. You should watch it, maybe.
Okay.
I don't remember if it's actually good. this was written by Michael France, and Stallone had a screenplay credit, which I thought was weird.
There's one or two lines that felt really Stallone-y to me.
Yeah. And this dude is interesting, Michael France, because he only had 10 credits, and they were this, GoldenEye, Hulk, The Punisher, Fantastic Four, and then like little featurettes about some of those movies. But the only like actual movies he wrote were these huge like blockbusters, and only like a few of them. So that's, I was like,
crazy.
I mean, none of them are especially good, I don't think.
How do
and
you
maybe that's why he didn't do a whole lot of them.
Fall into that. And so many of them are comic books. He's never like written for comic books.
Maybe he has. I should have looked it up. But that would make sense. Like maybe that's his full-time job. Yeah. But he did this in GoldenEye before any of the comic book ones, which is weird. And I don't mean to say that GoldenEye is bad. I've never seen it, but
this is a weird though.
Fantastic Four is bad.
Oh yeah, for this to be like your first feature, like
mm-hmm.
you got a story in your heart that you really want to tell, and it's mm-hmm. just about Sylvester Stallone rock climbing.
I guess the actual plot of the movie is so much like a generic 80s action movie plot.
Yeah.
But just with like, you know, rock climbing as the sort of like gimmick, I guess.
Yeah.
That it's not surprising, I guess. But
yeah, true.
I don't know.
Safe.
Yeah, it's very much like, you know, there's a heist and the heist goes wrong, and then they have to like try and get the money back while there's some random people who get caught up in the thing, whatever. But you know, it's like I said, I feel like it's a very, this would be a movie that would be, if it came on like TNT or whatever, you could just like sit and watch it and like I don't know.
Maybe it's a movie Sunday that afternoon.
I bet Dad would like this movie.
Oh yeah.
I bet any dad would like this movie.
He would complain about it being on, but then he would sit there and watch all of it.
You got burned, Dad. Roasted. The music here is by Trevor Jones, who has 96 credits starting in 1978. Those being, or including, I guess, The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth.
Sweet.
Last of the Mohicans, G.I. Jane, Notting Hill, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Wilson's favorite movie of all time. Cinematography is by Alex Thompson, who has 53 credits, his starting in 1967.
Whoa.
He also did Labyrinth. He had done a couple with that Trevor Jones guy, so maybe they knew each other. I don't know. And he did Alien 3 and Demolition Man. But most importantly, he did Electric Dreams.
Hey, so, wow, that's a really early one.
Yeah, that one's funny because I was thinking about it. It's too bad this wasn't the first episode that we're doing in my new apartment, because Electric Dreams was the first episode we did in my last apartment.
Wow. Oh my god,
so appropriate.
That was the one with like the weird little musical numbers, right?
Uh-huh. Where they didn't have the the license for the music, so they could play the music. That was fun. I had the weird little robot guy who fell in love with a human lady. Yeah, I kind of want to watch that movie again now.
That was a fun one.
And then the spotlight that I chose was on special effects Matt Painter Rocco Gioffre.
Nice.
Because I always like Matt painting. Wilson told me, you know, that he went to the Academy Museum in L.A. while he was out there.
Yeah.
And do you remember when we were there, was there like a section of matte paintings that had like one from Batman and one, like a couple from other stuff? I don't know.
I don't remember that specifically.
I feel like I don't know. I always really like the idea of matte painting and like seeing it in action.
Yeah.
And this dude has had a lot. He did a lot. I've got like a huge paragraph of things that he did. Most strangely, I guess, his first three movies were Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Trek the Motion Picture, and Caddyshack.
God dang.
So and those were like as assistant matte painter, I think, or like I think, you know, if you're a matte painter, you probably are part of like a company that does that, maybe. Like,
yeah, that's a pretty specific skill.
Yeah, like special effects companies nowadays.
Yeah.
But he also did Blade Runner and Gremlins and RoboCop and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey and Bicentennial Man and Equilibrium. You remember that movie?
Oh my god.
And Van Helsing and Chronicles of Narnia and Aragon and I Am Legend and Watchmen and Captain America.
I forgot they made an Aragon movie.
I know, right? Have you ever seen it?
I think so. I think I would have, because I loved that book.
Yeah.
I would have watched it.
This is very bad.
But did they ever do any sequels? No sequels?
No, of course not. It bombed. I'm pretty sure it bombed. I mean, you know, look, I definitely read at least the first book back in the day.
Because there were at least a few of those books.
There were four, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And they're all big and thick, and they're all written by a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I remember that was the big draw.
Yeah, no one's why. I think I saw recently that dude has written some other stuff there recently.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Maybe it's good.
Check it out.
Anyways, this guy also did 12 Years a Slave and Game of Thrones and La La Land.
Wow.
So... yeah, and it's funny to me. I didn't realize that there were matte paintings in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool. It's imagine still, it's all CGI.
Yeah, I like that it's still in use.
Yeah,
it's not a lost technique.
Yeah, so shout out any and all matte painters are cool in my book. I think that's neat.
If you're a matte painter and you want to be on the show, email us.
Speaking of actually, that matte paintings and like CGI or whatever, there's a lot of this movie reminded me of that Trumploy episode of Reading Rainbow where he's he's pretending to be climbing the mountain. He's like,
we've talked about that on the show too.
Yeah, we've got Ultimate Blue.
Ultimate Blue.
Yeah, so I wonder if they used Ultimate Blue in this movie.
We love you, LeVar Burton.
I downloaded a couple episodes of his podcast recently. I got to listen to
that. Ooh, yeah, I haven't got on that yet either.
So,
this is a movie.
What's there to say about Cliffhanger? Imagine a movie about a rock climbing guy. And it's probably, you could probably get pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. We start off with a big, flashy, you know, rescue sequence. We got to introduce the team, and we also have to have a little inciting incident. And we're introduced to Sylvester Stallone's character in the most insane way, because there's two people in a helicopter, or three people, that are going to save this, like, couple that's stranded on top of this really tall, like, climbing feature. I think they're in Colorado.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Rescue is the name of their whatever.
And then fucking Sylvester Stallone just comes free soloing up the side of this fucking
nuts.
Giant mountain.
And he's like, at when we first see him, he's on like hanging off the bottom of like a ledge that's jutting out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like by his hands, no ropes. It's insane. And that's what I, like I said, that's what I thought the whole movie is going to be. And he never really does anything that impressive again.
Yeah. But then he's also like quipping with the helicopter people because he's somehow on a fucking headset or something. I feel like when people do like free soloing, like climbing and stuff, they're pretty notoriously like concentrating.
Yeah.
When they're doing it.
Not him, man. He's so good. He doesn't even have to concentrate. He's fucking Spider-Man basically in this opening scene.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know a lot about search and rescue, but this feels atypical.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, here's a spoiler alert. He stops climbing for about 8 months after this.
Yeah.
And then that's when the movie takes place. So I guess maybe he was out of practice, so he can't do these cool stunts anymore.
He's not in peak form anymore.
Yeah. Plus they were out of money probably. So yeah, he gets up there. The guy of the couple is one of the members of the rescue team.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Michael Rooker.
That's how he's there.
What is his name? Hal. And he's like hurt his leg or something. And he also has his girlfriend with him who is not an experienced climber.
Yes.
And so they need a rescue.
They do the kind of, they tie a line over to the helicopter so they can like, you know, anchor themselves to the line and then pull themselves across.
Mm-hmm.
Hal does it with ease, but then tragedy strikes when what's her name is trying to go next.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's like a fucking Final Destination movie.
Yeah, literally just a little plastic like strap thing on her bag breaks.
Just like breaks out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got to do better inspections of their gear.
For real. And have more fail safes on a harness like that. Like what?
Anyway. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point also. It shouldn't be just like one tiny little clasp holding you between life and death.
So this is also where we're introduced to a frustrating thing that we see many times, which is everyone climbs wearing gloves in this movie. And that doesn't seem right either. Again, I'm not a professional climber, but I feel like you usually do it barehanded, right? Like,
I don't know, I guess so. Maybe since it's so cold there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if it's cold enough, you have to wear gloves, don't you?
Yeah, but you're right. I think that it will fuck up your grip in some way.
It certainly fucks this up for them.
Well, yeah. Dude, as soon as like Michael Rooker made it to the other side, I was like, this girl's going to die. Like, one of them is going to die. Because, you know, it's the opening scene. Something has to happen. Because everyone's having like a great time. Just like, you know, they're doing a rescue, but they're all like, here we are. We got this. Let's do this. All right.
I thought that the line was going to snap and they were going to like swing like, you know, down and like Sly was going to barely hold on. But what we got is far more traumatizing.
Yeah, dude.
She literally just slips out of his fingers. He, you know, goes out on the line to save her. She just.
Yeah. And he just has to watch her plummet 4,000 feet.
And this is a point where I can bring up, they do some really, really impressive practical stuff.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
The place I had heard of this movie before was, I believe it was on an episode of that Stuntman React YouTube show
On
the Corridor channel. I watch them all the time. But it's a little bit later in the movie, but the air-to-air transfer, like...
Oh, yeah.
They did that for real.
That was cool. Like, they did that for real?
Yeah.
That's where all the money went.
I know, right?
Holy
but
shit.
Yeah, there's some pretty good, you know, footage of what looked like, you know, real people falling through space. So they clearly did a lot of like skydiving stunts for this and like
yeah.
It's cool. It's cool stuff.
It's really good. Yeah. And it also is the most people I've ever seen fall to their death in a movie before, I think.
Yeah, there are a lot.
It happens like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
For a while, I was like, is that the only way people are going to die? But then, you know, some awesome shit happens later.
There is one of the best kills I've ever seen.
One of the best
in anything. Oh, my God, man.
We'll get to it. Okay. So, obviously, Sylvester Stallone is upset about this. Not as upset as Michael Rooker is. I wrote down their names, but I'm probably just going to end up calling them by their actor names. So 8 months later, it's like there's some Treasury agent and some FBI agent, and like, you know,
there's a little bit of kind of hand wavy stuff that they do about the crime that is going to happen. Yeah. Basically, it's just a plane heist.
There's some money on a plane, and some guys on the plane kill some other guys on the plane, and then another plane comes.
$1,000 bills.
Wait, what? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they were like, "What's in the cases or whatever?" And they were like, "It's not even in circulation. It's only ever used for large international banking deals or like some bullshit like that."
Yeah,
$1,000 bills. Yeah.
Okay, and there were 3 big cases of them.
Yeah.
And they said it was about $100 million. I guess, does that track?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
100 million divided by 1,000 would be a lot. Yeah, okay.
But you don't need to know much about that. One of the guys is a Fed, and then he gets killed, and then
Yeah.
But the big plane heist is cool.
Yeah. The plane heist is really cool. There's another plane that pulls up behind the first plane, and they like drop a line out the back, and they hook the line in, and they sort of zip line over to the other plane. And I feel like I've seen this in a movie before, but I can't think of what it was. Maybe it just kind of reminded me of The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, totally. I feel like they've done some plane stuff in the Mission Impossible movies too.
Oh, certainly. You know what? I've never seen any of those though. I've always meant to.
I've seen like 2 of them, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I probably saw 1 or 2 back in the day, like a long time ago, but I want to sit down and like watch through all of them because they seem cool. And
yeah, people say they're still good.
Yeah. Plus they do crazy stunts, like real stunts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the heist goes awry because the Fed didn't die right away. So he like shoots up the other plane, and then both planes go down.
That scene, I was like, I don't know. Those planes are kind of far away. I don't.
Yeah. Like how?
I don't know about that.
Bullets. And also guns in this movie are very powerful in a way that I don't think they are in real life.
Yep.
Anyways, the plane goes down, but everyone seems to survive, or mostly, except for that other pilot guy. They lose the cases. The cases fell a little bit further away in the mountains. So they're like, oh shit, what do we do now?
There's a big screaming match. They're all at each other's throats. But they're able to get the rescue people on the radio, but they obviously don't tell the truth. They're like, help, we're hikers, we're stranded, come help us. So off they go. We didn't talk briefly about Sylvester Stallone is back in town.
Yeah.
He came back for the girl because apparently they were like a serious couple at the time of the accident. I didn't really pick up on that.
Yeah. And it looks like Sylvester Stallone is wearing a ring on his left ring finger. So I was like, are they married or what's happening?
I fucking guess that the way they treat each other doesn't seem to indicate that. But
yeah, I mean, they treat each
words
other like
that they say do.
Yeah, it feels very much like the standard sort of like action movie couple where they sort of know each other, and then at the end of the movie will fall in love.
Maybe like they were sweet on each other or something, but not like they were married.
Not like married. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he just forgot to take off his own wedding ring.
But she asks for his help because he says he just came back to town for her. He's like, I miss you or whatever. Come with me. And she's like, I have to stay. And he's like, I can't stay.
Yeah. Because he is taking kind of off. Like, he's blaming himself entirely for the death of that girl at the beginning. And she's like, it's not your fault completely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what can you do? Michael Rooker, however, is blaming him completely.
Very much so.
He's like, you know, you just had to do it your way. Because at the beginning, he was like, I'll just like send her out another little strappy thing.
Yeah.
It's like, how would that even get over to her, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, so you think, I mean, you don't think, but the movie wants you to think that Sylvester Stallone just like leaves.
Yeah. But surprise, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to team up with the old, getting the band back together.
Yeah. I did like it. It was funny that like it shows Michael Rooker sort of struggling up a climb. And when he gets to the top, Sylvester Stallone is just like sitting there.
Yeah.
And he says something like snarky about it. I thought it was funny that when the plane contacts the rescue people to get, you know, them to come up to them, they're like, well, we need insulin.
Yo, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I feel so represented. If a bank robber could pretend to be me.
I could lie about being me.
Anyways, and I also thought the bank robbers were going to like pretend more when like the rescue guys
kind of get right to it.
They immediately just shove a gun in their face.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
okay, that's a plan, I guess.
And they have this fucking dude, the radar.
Makes no sense.
There is some kind of hyper effective and specific radar thing that they have where they can track the cases.
Yeah, it has a 3D model of the mountains somehow. And they're looking at it from like a side view, landscape. Not like from a top view.
Yeah.
It's so like, weird. It looks like on like a snowboarding video game when you choose which track you're gonna do.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
And so they're like, do you know the region, you can take us to the bags.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, or if you don't, we'll kill you. So they're like,
yeah, they're like, okay. And then they're off. I guess I'm looking at, yeah, nothing. I guess they get to the first one and they send Gabe up to fetch it. They keep saying fetch. And he does, I guess. This is where I said it reminded me of Reading Rainbow.
The Trump and this,
Gabe has kind of Gabe. I wonder if people will remember that Gabe is Sylvester Stallone.
Gabe is Sylvester Stallone. Don't forget.
Yeah. When he gets to the top, he has kind of a good plan, I guess. At first, I didn't know what he was doing, but
yeah.
The guy starts like shooting at him because, oh, and here's something that I liked. The you know, Gabe eventually, you know, after this is off on his own, and the guys have Michael Rooker as a hostage, and they have him lead them to all the other places, and they keep like threatening him, like, you know, don't fuck with us or we'll kill you, or like, lead us here or we'll kill you, do this, we'll kill you, and he kind of just doesn't do what they tell him to do. And they still don't kill him. Like, he's always like he yells at Gabe like, hey, don't come back down or they're gonna kill you. And they don't kill him. And then later on he like grabs a walkie talkie from one of them to warn him about stuff, and they don't do anything.
Like, they really want us. It seems like they really, he's essential for navigation, I guess, but like, he doesn't do the navigating. The guy has the little radar and they just follow the radar.
Mm-hmm. It's wild. He's like the most bold hostage I've ever seen in a movie like this. And I love it. I think that's very Michael Rooker of him.
But yeah, he does yell up the cliff and he's like, hey, don't come back down. They're going to kill you. So we get a split up here. Sly goes off, and this was kind of dope. He goes to like this safe house, and then Michael Rooker gets on the radio with the, you know, rescue center, and he says something about like, hey, I made it to the top of the tower. There's nobody here. It was a fake call.
Mm-hmm.
Back at base, the lady goes, hey, hang on. The area he was going to check out, that's not where the tower is. He's trying to tell me something. So somehow she extrapolates via that the exact safe house that Sly Stallone is going to.
I didn't, she goes and meets him there. That they both ended up there somehow.
Yeah.
And this is where, because the bad guys had also taken Stallone's jacket, so he was just climbing around in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Which he does later by choice, seemingly. But right now he's like, oh, I'm so cold. So he gets like an old timey, like museum prop sweater from this like fucking weird place, safe house.
Yeah,
but it looks cooler.
So now we have the team of two, and then we have the, you know, the bad guys essentially with Hal as their prisoner, and they're who can find the cases first.
Mm-hmm.
Race is on.
Yeah. And you know, Michael Rooker is taking them the long way, aka like the easier way, because he, you know, they're like, why don't we just go up right here? And he's like, only 12 people in the world can get up that or whatever. Yeah. And one of them is Stallone.
It was at this point that I took a note that the blonde woman who is the pilot for the bad guys, she just looks so much like Allison Mack, that bitch from Nexium. And once I realized it, I couldn't stop seeing it. It was
Odo. She definitely reminded me of someone, but I couldn't really place it. She has that sort of like wispy blonde. I mean, her hair reminded me of Laura Dern from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very sort of 90s looking hair.
There's this one hilarious scene where they are in a cave with all these bats flying around.
Oh yeah.
I fucking love that scene because they're, you know, kind of the they're both like flailing, and Sly keeps going, just hold on to me or whatever. Just hold on to me. Hold on to me. But he's like fucking flailing around too.
Yeah. Yeah. What was funny about that scene to me was you can see them sitting on the like on the rocks, and there's a bunch of bats behind them sort of like hanging off the ceiling. Yeah. And those bats aren't moving at all.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the screen is covered with like, you know, special effects of bats flying around everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, those bats in the background are very chill, but these bats in the foreground are crazy.
A lot of depth here.
Before that though, there's the scene where they make a snowman out of the, tracking device of the one case.
That was pretty sick. That was a nice, catch me if you can, because I think all the bad guys thought he was dead up until then.
I didn't really know why they did that until they opened the case. So Gabe and Jess get to the second case first, and they leave they take all the money. Well, actually all the money was sort of already gone, I think. Or no, they take it because they burn it for fire for fuel. Yeah. And they leave one bill in there that says trade, or like make a trade or something. And then they get to the cave, I think.
There's a lot in here of just, there's a lot of like climbing kind of montages.
Yeah, and like there's like a big, there's like a rickety bridge.
Yeah.
There's these two sort of like extreme sports dudes who just die.
They were unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a long time in this like crevasse kind of. That's where they have there's a pretty dope face off with Leon.
Yeah. Is that what you were talking about earlier?
My favorite part of the movie. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Leon comes down and he's like, he's always been sort of the renegade of the bad guys. He's like not a team player and he's kind of a hothead. Mm-hmm. And he gets down there and he's like, where's the money or whatever? And Stallone's like, I burned it. He's like, wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
Real menacing. He beats the shit out of him, but an incredible kill. He's like right over top of Stallone. And don't forget, they're in this little tiny crevasse. And Stallone reaches up and grabs him by the dick and balls, and then grabs him by a shoulder. So he's kind of like, and puts him perpendicular and stabs him upward into a stalactite.
Yes, dude.
Coming out of the fucking ceiling.
It was so cool.
So incredible.
I'd never seen any shit like that before.
Yeah, man. Immediately one of my new favorite kills in any movie.
Yeah, that's my mark of quality on a movie like that. You know, movies can be good movies, or movies can have some shit I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I will love it. Yes. And I love that they have that like really that sort of close up that shows you that he's grabbing him right in the dick.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't have to do that, but it's like a close up, so you know, yeah, right there, and then wham into the fucking thing.
Dude, it's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's really good. You know what though? You say that Leon is the hothead. It almost feels like everyone on this crew is a hothead.
Yeah, including the like treasury guy.
Yeah, including that guy. The only one who's not a hothead maybe is like the lady, but
yeah,
she also is pretty hotheaded at times.
She was cool. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, I liked her.
Yeah.
Anyways, they decide they're going to blow up the cave. They're like, that didn't work, so let's just blow up the cave. And this is where Hal fucking grabs a walkie from one of them. He's like, get out of there. They're going to blow it up.
Yep.
And they're just like, hey, why'd you do that?
Come on, man.
I'm like, if this was any other movie, he'd be like losing fingers or something at least. And they do like a little swing on the rope. The gang. At this point, Frank, the fourth member of Rocky Mountain Rescue.
Oh. We haven't even talked about Frank yet. He's a sweet old man.
And he loves making paintings on glass panes. I thought that was really cool.
But they're like weird impressionistic paintings.
Yeah. Banana eating a monkey.
Yeah. Frank.
I like Frank a lot.
Hal likes Frank a lot too.
He is lured to the scene by the bad guys and they kill him and take the chopper.
Yep. They also, fucking John Lithgow murders the blonde lady in this scene because she is the pilot, but John Lithgow also can pilot the helicopter. So he murders her so that he becomes indispensable.
Yeah, he's like, no. And I was like, I thought he was in charge the whole time. There's like one moment where Travers has the upper hand and John Lithgow is like, and just kills that lady.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm. So Travers and what is that guy's name? Delmar? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He was like British and weird and like just kind of a psycho. Travers and Delmar and Hal are going to find the final case while John Lithgow waits with the copter. Yep. Do people say copter? The chopper? Whatever.
The chopper!
The chopper! Yeah, how could this movie not star Arnold? and Hal is also racing to find the last case.
Yep.
Oh, and meanwhile, fucking Jess waves down the helicopter because she thinks that what's his face is still in it, but then John Lithgow, and this is what I was sort of referring to earlier, John Lithgow from the seat of the helicopter points a gun at her on the ground, like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, well, she could just like run away probably.
The movie continually seems to overstate the agency of an individual piloting a helicopter. I don't know, I've never piloted a helicopter, but
yeah, he's holding it extremely still and pointing a pistol at her,
and they like from, like, they have conversations with people.
yeah, that too. I don't know. But he ends up kidnapping her, which will come into play later. Meanwhile, Travers and the gang get close enough that they don't need Hal anymore. So they
need Hal.
Delmar's like, I'll just kill him. But then Hal very easily sort of goads him into fighting him rather than just shooting him.
Yeah. He starts get the snot beat out of him, but
he does, yeah, or kicked out of him because this dude was a soccer player or whatever. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is a little gimmicky for, like, why is this guy talking all this shit about being a soccer player?
This is not the type of crew where everybody needs a specialty. You can just be,
yeah, but it did lead to what did he say when he shot him? It was a very good, you know, like 80s action movie kill line,
yeah,
I don't remember, Hal stabs him with a knife and then grabs the shotgun and shoots him in the chest.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. Throws pretty him off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Once again.
Meanwhile, Travers is freaking out.
Oh, man. This part is pretty insane, too. The Travers and Gabe scene.
Mm-hmm.
He flips out on John Lithgow, basically, and is like, I'm going to go kill this fucking guy.
Yeah,
that's all I care about now, fuck the money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's chasing after Stallone. He you know, finds him crossing this frozen river. Stallone falls into the frozen river. It's very dramatic. Immediately upon falling into the frozen river, he removes his shirt, which, what is that a thing to do? I don't know a lot about rivers, but
don't you remember from like Boy Scouts emergency preparedness or whatever? I remember you at least were supposed to take your pants off if you fall in the water.
Well, yeah, because you can make your pants into like a float, right?
You swoop them over your head like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also because it'll just weigh you down. But it doesn't really help at first.
I am very confused about the science of this clip, though. It's
the fucking handgun. Do handguns shoot underwater? I guess they do, maybe.
I think they do, but he's under the water, and for a second you feel like he's like floundering and he's not going to make it out because he can't find like a way out, and the treasury guy is on top like pointing a gun at him and he's about to take the shot, and Stallone from fucking under the ice pulls a gun out and fucking shoots him twice, like right in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Through the ice, and of course the ice breaks.
Yeah,
and then luckily Hal comes down and grabs him, pulls him out. But yeah, I was like, I really don't know if that would work.
I don't think so. But again, I was like, never seen.
I don't
that
know.
Before.
Yeah, what was it like? That doesn't sound right. But I don't know enough about guns.
Yeah.
to say that it wouldn't work. Man, I used to be terrified of like falling under the ice in like a do you remember the movie Jumper?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he like falls through the ice in like a river and then gets swept down the river. And like, luckily he was a jumper, but anyone else in that scenario would have fucking died. And now I was always kind of sketched out about in Ottawa, you can skate on the canal in the winter. It's like, you know, freezes over, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, it's totally safe. And I was like, I don't know. That seems pretty sketchy. Until I found out that they drain the canal. So it's literally like 2 feet deep.
Of just ice.
Yeah. Like just ice. Nice. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's probably fine then.
Yeah, it is a eerie. It's an eerie thing to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can like see. I mean, that's why I would never want to do like cave diving. Anytime you're underwater and you can't get out from underwater.
Yeah, like I love the ocean. I love swimming in the ocean. I love the beach. But like dark and cold ocean feels so different.
Yeah, or what is it? Our friend Drew, who's been doing scuba diving recently, I think he was telling us about one time where they had to do like muddy water training, where you can't like see anything.
Oh my god, no!
And I was just like, I would rather just not do that at all.
No thanks. Yeah, man,
sounds fun for you to do, but
give me a snorkel, I'll stay up top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or give me a glass bottom boat, and I'll just kind of like look.
I thought you were gonna say like, give me a glass of tequila.
Give me a glass. I'll be hanging on the beach.
I'll be on the beach.
Yeah, I'll go swimming in the pool. Anyways, fucking, you know, there's like a final showdown or whatever. Oh, this is I thought was weird. So the final showdown, they meet at like the highest peak, and Quaylen, well, I wrote his actual name. John Lithgow shows up and he's like, Let's make a trade. Give me the money. And Sylvester Stallone's like, give me the girl first. And then John Lithgow's like, okay. And I was like, what? You're just going to like give her to?
This was another part too, where I was like, it feels so weird doing this like Mexican standoff where one of you is in a helicopter.
Yeah. Like, and he just like lets the girl go. He's like, okay, now give me the money. And I was like, you don't even know that that is the money yet. Like, I thought there was going to be
bad criminal.
Yeah, I thought there's gonna be like a bomb in there or like rocks or something.
Yeah,
but no, it is the money. He just throws it into the helicopter blades.
Yep. I right before that happened, I was like, he's gonna throw it into the rotors and it's gonna go everywhere. And
oh, I was still betting that it was like, you know, the extra C4 in there.
Oh, really? Yeah. This was the one of the lines that I wrote down that I was like, that feels like a Stallone line. It's after like the helicopter kind of comes crashing down and it's hanging on to the side of the cliff, and fucking Stallone and John Lithgow are gonna get into a fist fight, and John Lithgow goes, it's just us now, you piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
And I just love hearing his dumb voice.
I thought you were gonna say, please keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe we haven't done Stallone impressions this whole time.
Was that supposed to be his catchphrase? You can't just say a thing twice.
Did he say, I thought I remembered him saying it earlier. I guess he did say it earlier. Yeah, I don't know. I liked Michael Rooker's line better after, you know, Stallone jumps off the helicopter and then it crashes into the ground with John Lithgow inside it. And finally the fucking FBI agents show up and Michael Rooker is talking to them and he's like, if you're looking for Quaylen, he's the one on the ground wearing a helicopter.
Yeah, I like that too. I was like,
God, that's so good.
Yeah, the FBI does show up right after everything's finished.
Yeah, at the very end.
It is infuriating.
They haven't done shit.
So it's very realistic in that.
Hello. I wonder if John Lithgow is D.B. Cooper in this universe.
You say you enjoyed this.
I did enjoy this movie. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those kinds of movies that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I like this.
I wasn't bored ever, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I also was, you know, almost never surprised. But,
yeah,
you know, there were those two great kills that were unique and weird. It's a little long.
It is a little bit long, yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like you could cut some of this for sure.
There's a lot of sort of like rambling around in the middle. I mean,
The coolest part for me is definitely the stunts, I think.
Yeah.
Like I was talking about earlier, all the practical stuff you get to see. It's pretty
neat. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it. I was like, you could, the main thing you could probably cut is like a lot of the whole plane heist, but that's like the best part of the movie. So I was like, yeah, you shouldn't cut that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, you know, I think if you're a dad, you'll probably like this movie. If you like sort of Stallone movies or like 80s, 90s action movies, you probably like it. It's got some
Michael Rooker is pretty great.
He is really good. Like, yeah, as far like, you know, everyone else is kind of like doing action movie stuff. And, yeah, and he, I feel like, is really
taking it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, well, actually, this is the other thing I forgot to say. I did not find this on YouTube in Canada. So I watched it through other means that were also free. So no worries about that. But
well, we still stay on our one of us has it available for free.
Yeah, role, you found it for free.
I did. Yeah.
So it is free. If you're in the States, you can go check it out on YouTube.
It's certainly not. It's not even in like the bottom half of like stuff that we've covered on the show.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's very little that's like actively offensive about it. It just. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's good.
Yeah,
watch out. It's got very snowy.
Yes, tis the season after all.
Tis the season.
Those Los Angeles snow flurries are making their way.
Oh, dude, there's not even snow on the ground up here, which is
how cold is it?
And not that cold either. Oh, people have been saying that because of El Nino, it's going to be a sort of mild.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's above freezing right now, which is crazy. It's almost the end of November, and I'm in like basically the latitude of Alaska.
That's nuts. Well, cool. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Make sure to review the show if you want.
Yeah,
whatever platform you're listening on.
Yeah. Ooh, email us at brokeboxoffice@gmail.com. Let me see if we actually have an email. I think I told people to email us on the last
email.
Episode. No.
Send us an email.
Come on.
And tell your friends about the show if you wanna.
Cool. In the meantime, hang out with your thang out. That's my new sign off.
Don't go out on the line.
Yeah, don't.
I'm doing Arnold for some reason.
Don't go out on the line.
It's not built for two.
Yeah, I'm gonna come save you.
Adrian.
Arnold.
Bye.
Hey, Arnold. Bye. Imagine a Hey Arnold movie where Arnold's plays Arnold and Sylvester Stallone plays Helga.